Hey friends, welcome to Unpolished but Called. I'm Catherine Schaefer, showing up with my tea, my Bible, and my entire belief that not all disciples sound like thunder when they walk into a room. Some of us are quieter. Some of us lead from the corners instead of the stage. Some of us slip in and out of a room like a gentle breeze, steady, present, and rarely celebrated. If that's you, Andrew might be your new favorite apostle. Before we dive in today, let me say this. There's something beautiful about believers who don't need the spotlight. The ones who don't announce themselves, the ones who don't need to be recognized to be faithful, the ones who quietly love Jesus and bring people to him without ever needing a microphone. Andrew is that person. If Peter is the loud, impulsive, passionate brother everyone notices, Andrew is the one doing the faithful work no one watches. And yet, Jesus used Andrew in ways that shaped the entire story of the gospel. So today, we're stepping into the world of the disciple who didn't lead loudly, didn't argue for rank, didn't try to impress anyone, but kept bringing people to Jesus one soul at a time. And here's the part that gives me goosebumps every time I think about him. Every revival needs a loud preacher, but every preacher usually followed a quiet Andrew. So, if you've ever felt unseen, overlooked, underestimated, or under-celebrated, this episode is your gentle reminder that heaven sees you differently. So let's talk about Andrew in our series of the 12 disciples, the apostle who changed more lives than he ever noticed. Andrew isn't usually the first disciple people talk about, and honestly, he would probably prefer it that way. Some personalities lean towards the spotlight like moth to a lamp. Others naturally find the corners of the room and settle there comfortably. Andrew lived in the corners, and Jesus still built a legacy around him that echoed through generations. It's strange, isn't it, how certain people can stand right beside greatness and not feel the need to make it about themselves. Andrew lived in the shadow of one of the most outspoken men in Scripture, his brother, Peter. Most siblings would feel overshadowed or overlooked, but nothing in Andrew's story hints at jealousy or resentment. He seemed to understand something many of us spend years trying to learn. Being known by Jesus mattered more than being noticed by people. The first time Andrew appears in Scripture, he's not fishing with Peter. He's listening to John the Baptist. That detail alone tells you something about the posture of his heart. Before Andrew ever walked with Jesus, he was already seeking truth, already listening for God, already paying attention to whatever heaven was doing on earth. Faith was stirring in him long before Jesus called his name. And when John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew doesn't hesitate. He doesn't overthink or stay frozen in curiosity. He makes a move. That simple decision, the willingness to take one step forward, becomes the turning point of his entire life. I imagine him following Jesus at a distance at first, unsure if he was intruding, unsure if he should say anything, unsure whether he had the right to interrupt whatever holy moment Jesus seemed to be carrying. When Jesus turns around and asks, "What seek ye?" it must have startled him, not because the question was intimidating, but because Jesus noticed him at all. Andrew doesn't offer a religious answer. He doesn't ask deep theological questions. Instead, he responds with something personal. "Where dwellest thou?" He wants proximity. He wants connection. He wants to know where Jesus stays so he can stay near him too. That response tells us that Andrew wasn't chasing information. He was chasing relationship. Jesus answers in a way that changes Andrew's entire trajectory. "Come and see." Those three words might be the most accurate description of how Andrew lived the rest of his life. He didn't argue people into faith. He didn't preach sermons. He didn't perform miracles in the spotlight. He simply became someone who invited others to see Jesus for themselves. It's incredible how God uses people who don't demand attention. There are believers who changed the world from a platform, and there are believers who changed the world quietly from the background. Andrew lived in the second category, and Scripture honors him for it in a quiet, beautiful way. When you look through the gospel accounts, a pattern emerges. Whenever Andrew appears, he's bringing someone to Jesus. That's his one consistent trait. It's almost his spiritual heartbeat. We see it again when Jesus preaches to the crowd of 5,000. Everyone else is focused on the problem. Too many people, not enough food. The disciples start calculating solutions that have nothing to do with faith. Andrew doesn't have a perfect solution either, but he does notice one small boy holding a lunch. Where the others see a crowd, Andrew sees a person. Where the others see scarcity, Andrew sees possibility. It doesn't even matter if the idea seems too small, he brings it to Jesus anyways. He tells Jesus, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." And then he adds, almost apologetically, "But what are they among so many?" Andrew doesn't pretend the boy's lunch makes sense. He simply offers what he found, and Jesus multiplies it into a miracle that reaches thousands. Some believers are channels of power. Others are channels of connection. Andrew was the second kind, the kind of person who doesn't make miracles happen, but creates the environment where they can. There's something deeply encouraging about that. So much of modern Christianity is loud and public and platform-driven. Faith often looks like something you perform. But Andrew shows us a different version, the kind that happens through small gestures, quiet conversations, unnoticed acts of faithfulness, and the courage to bring what little you find back to Jesus. If you've ever felt like your contribution was too small, Andrew reminds you that small things in Jesus' hands are never insignificant. Another moment that reveals Andrew's heart happens when Greek worshippers approach Philip asking to see Jesus. Philip isn't sure what to do. Maybe he's worried these men won't be welcomed. Maybe he doesn't want to make a mistake. But instead of approaching Jesus alone, Philip goes to Andrew. There's a subtle message in that detail. Philip trusts Andrew to help navigate the situation because Andrew consistently brought people to Jesus, even the ones others weren't sure how to handle. And what does Andrew do? Exactly what he always does. He brings them straight to Jesus. He doesn't gatekeep Christ. He doesn't ask whether these men belong. He doesn't filter who gets access to the Messiah. He simply brings them. Faith like that carries a quiet kind of courage. The courage to believe Jesus welcomes the ones we're not sure how to approach. Every time Andrew appears in the story, he's doing the same thing. Noticing the people others overlook. Engaging opportunities others ignore. And guiding people into Jesus' presence. Andrew never tries to be the center of the story. He seems to understand instinctively that Jesus is the center, and his own role is simply to point people toward him. There's something breathtakingly freeing about living that way, letting Jesus be the focal point in defining your life by how much you help others meet him. Peter becomes famous because of his boldness, but Andrew becomes essential because of his consistency. And consistency is a kind of spiritual strength we don't talk about enough. Andrew wasn't impressive in bursts. He was faithful in patterns. He didn't need applause to motivate him. He didn't require a leadership title to feel valuable. His identity wasn't attached to how visible he was. It was attached to how close he stayed to Jesus and how often he led others toward him. That humility made space for God to use him in ways that still shape the church today. Sometimes we underestimate what God can do through a believer who doesn't need attention. We assume that loud faith must be stronger than quiet faith, but Scripture shows the opposite repeatedly. God has always used the overlooked, the humble, the steady, the behind-the-scenes disciples to fulfill His purposes. Even today, some of the most spiritually influential people are the ones who never hold a microphone, the ones who pray faithfully, encourage others quietly, serve consistently, and live their faith with sincerity instead of spectacle. Andrew fits into that lineage seamlessly. His impact didn't come from public moments, but from relational ones. There's something else about Andrew that I love. He never seems threatened by the calling on Peter's life. He doesn't shrink back when Jesus chooses Peter for bigger responsibilities. He doesn't force comparison between their roles. He doesn't behave like someone who believes love is scarce or calling is limited. Instead, Andrew accepts that God writes different stories for different people. That acceptance is rare. Many believers struggle with comparison, not because we don't trust God, but because we sometimes assume calling looks like prominence. If it's quiet, we think it's lesser. If it's unnoticed, we think it's unimportant. If it doesn't gather attention, we worry it doesn't matter. Andrew's story dismantles that thinking. God didn't make him the loud one. He made him the steady one, the noticing one, the connecting one. Some disciples gather crowds, others gather individuals. Andrew did the second, and Jesus valued it. Imagine how many believers came to Christ because Andrew whispered, "Come and see." How many stories began because he saw potential in someone the crowd overlooked? Or how many private moments in heaven can we trace back to Andrew's willingness to bring people to Jesus instead of keeping his faith to himself? Our culture often celebrates the boldest voices, but heaven celebrates the faithfulness behind them. Andrew didn't need to be the leader to matter. He mattered because he helped leaders find Jesus in the first place. Someone whose entire impact grew from a heart that noticed people, believed Jesus welcomed them, and acted on that belief repeatedly. Andrew's life speaks loudly without raising its voice. He reminds us that following Jesus isn't measured by how loudly we speak, but by how consistently we point others toward him. The more you read about Andrew, the more you realize he wasn't trying to become a great man. He was trying to be a faithful one. His story grows in the spaces where Scripture isn't loud. He appears in moments most people would skim over, and yet the impact of those moments stretches further than we imagine. That's the beauty of a quiet life in God's hands. Nothing stays small when it touches Jesus. After the early days of following Christ, Andrew continues moving in patterns that stay true to his character. Some disciples wrestle openly. Some push for understanding. Some need proof. Some seek answers. Andrew's patterns seem rooted in trust. You don't see him arguing with Jesus or demanding explanations. He takes Jesus at his word and adjusts his life accordingly. There's an ease to his faith that feels almost rare, a steady confidence that following Jesus is worth it even when you don't understand every detail. Part of Andrew's strength is this ability to observe without needing to control. He watches Jesus teach. He sees how people flock to him. He notices how hearts soften in his presence. He pays attention to how Jesus interacts with the overlooked, the broken, the curious, the desperate. That awareness becomes his ministry. Andrew doesn't try to imitate Jesus' tone or authority. Instead, he learns to recognize people who are searching and then quietly ushers them towards the one they're searching for. When the other disciples get caught in debates about who is the greatest, Andrew doesn't seem to join the conversation. If he had feelings about it, Scripture doesn't record them. The silence isn't weakness, it's discipline. Some personalities thrive on being heard. Others thrive on listening. Andrew's listening becomes a gift. It allows him to know the moments others miss because they were too busy trying to be impressive. If the disciples had personalities today, Peter might be the one posting bold declarations on social media. John would post poetic reflections. Matthew might share charts and notes. Thomas would comment with questions. James and John would post pictures of thunderstorms with dramatic captions. And Andrew would be the quiet one checking in on people privately, sending a message that says, "Hey, I saw what you posted earlier. How are you really doing?" Every church has an Andrew. Most families have one too. Quiet leaders who don't announce their influence, but shape the environment by caring about people others forget. One moment where Andrew's heart shines clearly happens during the Passover week as crowds gather in Jerusalem. The city is packed. The atmosphere thickens with expectations. Jesus' fame has spread beyond the borders of Israel by this point, and Greeks who traveled for the feast want to meet him. It's significant because outsiders like them weren't usually welcome into intimate Jewish religious circles. Their request might have made some disciples nervous, unsure whether they were stepping beyond culture boundaries. Philip receives their request first. He hesitates. Maybe he doesn't want to make a mistake. Maybe he worries about the others' reactions. Maybe he simply doesn't know what Jesus will say. Instead of approaching Jesus alone, Philip goes directly to Andrew. There's a reason for that. Andrew is a disciple who knows how to bring people in. He doesn't make assumptions about who is allowed near Jesus. He doesn't filter access based on social expectations. He doesn't measure spiritual potential by categories others care about. He simply believes that anyone who wants Jesus should be led to him. The gospel says the two of them go together to Jesus with the request, but it's clear who Philip trusts to take the lead: Andrew. That small detail tells us Andrew had a reputation among the 12. If someone wanted Christ, Andrew would make sure they got to him. That's influence. Quiet influence. Spiritual influence. The kind that travels more deeply than public leadership ever could. Andrew carried people's names before God in ways they didn't even know about. He introduced people to Jesus who would go on to touch others he'd never met. He played a part in destinies he didn't get credit for because he wasn't trying to get credit. He was trying to be faithful. And there's a freedom that comes with not needing recognition. Andrew lived in that freedom. When Jesus sent out the disciples to preach, heal, and spread the message of the kingdom, Andrew wasn't at the forefront of the stories. But that doesn't mean he wasn't effective. Scripture often highlights the moments that create contrast or tension. Andrew created connection. His work was quieter. It was consistent. His entire ministry seems to grow from a simple belief. If somebody wants Jesus, they deserve a path towards him. And if that path isn't obvious, Andrew will guide them. That kind of heart is rare. It takes humility to lead without spotlight. It takes security to bring others forward, knowing they may surpass you. It takes surrender to celebrate what God does in others more than what he does in you. And Andrew possessed all three. Peter becomes a preacher. John becomes a theologian. Matthew becomes the writer. James becomes the martyr, remembered for his courage. But Andrew becomes something just as essential. The disciple responsible for beginnings. He introduces, welcomes, he makes space in a world obsessed with results and visibility. Andrew reminds us that the kingdom advances through quiet obedience as much as loud proclamations. And there's something else about Andrew that deserves attention. He wasn't trying to build his identity on what he could do for Jesus. His identity was built on being with Jesus. That subtle difference changes everything. When your relationship with God is grounded in proximity rather than performance, your faith becomes something stable, not fragile. Andrew didn't follow Jesus to gain status or be remembered. He followed because he believed Jesus was worth following. That sincerity protected him from the traps that ensnared others. It's not that Andrew was immune to fear or confusion. He lived through the same storms and pressures the others faced, but his heart posture kept him steady. That steadiness becomes more visible after the resurrection. While Peter is learning to lead boldly, and John is writing deeply, and Thomas is processing tangibly, Andrew continues a pattern he never abandoned. He helps others meet Jesus. Tradition says Andrew traveled north and preached in regions the others never reached. Some traditions say he was responsible for planting seeds of the gospel in places that eventually became strong centers of the early church. Whether those details are exact or symbolic, the message stands. Andrew brought the gospel to people who might never have heard it otherwise. His ministry didn't need fanfare to flourish. It grew quietly, the same way everything in his life seemed to grow. If you look at Andrew through a modern lens, he's the kind of believer who would disciple others long before anyone gave him a title. The kind who notices the person sitting alone at church and goes to sit with them. The kind who remembers details others forget. The kind who says the right gentle words at the right moment, who makes space for people without needing applause for it. And that's kingdom leadership. It just doesn't wear a badge. There's something tender about how Jesus chose disciples with wildly different personalities. He didn't gather 12 versions of the same person. He gathered a mosaic of strength, weaknesses, temperaments, and perspectives. In a world that pressures us to be more like the loudest voices, Andrew reminds us that Jesus chooses people who lead quietly too. Imagine if Andrew had believed his personality was less spiritual because it wasn't as bold as Peter's. Imagine if he tried to force himself into a louder mold. He might have lost the very qualities Jesus wanted to use. But instead, he embraced who he was, a steady presence, a gentle inviter, a quiet witness, and Jesus used it beautifully. Sometimes the most anointed thing you can do is stop trying to be someone else. Andrew teaches us the holiness of staying in our lane, not out of insecurity, but out of understanding that Jesus placed us there on purpose. Every disciple carried something different into the kingdom. Andrew carried the gift of invitation. His come and see approach remains one of the most evangelistic verses in Scripture. The invitation wasn't complicated. It wasn't philosophical. It wasn't persuasive. It didn't require a degree or a platform. It simply required authenticity. Andrew didn't just invite people to Jesus. He lived like someone who genuinely wanted to be near Jesus himself. That authenticity carries far more weight than eloquent arguments ever could. Faith that is lived honestly always draws people. Maybe that's the biggest lesson in Andrew's story. Impact isn't measured by volume. It's measured by faithfulness. Your influence doesn't grow louder when more people notice you. It grows deeper when more people see Jesus through you. Too often we get the idea that we must accomplish something dramatic to matter in the kingdom of God. But Andrew shows us a different path. The kind of path that changes lives one encounter at a time. He didn't preach at Pentecost, but he helped lead the man who did. He didn't write scripture, but he helped the ones who wrote it. He didn't chase influence, but influence happened anyways because of his consistency. Andrew removes the pressure to be exceptional. He replaces it with the invitation to be faithful. And there's something freeing about that. If you've ever felt unseen or unimportant, Andrew reminds you that God sees you and uses you in ways you may never fully realize. Some seeds you plant will outgrow your lifetime. Some people you bring to Jesus will reach people you never met. Some moments that feel small to you will ripple in heaven for generations. And that's the story of a quiet disciple. That's the legacy of Andrew. His life blesses those who feel overshadows. It honors those who serve silently, comforts those who wonder whether their hidden faithfulness matters. It reassures those who bring people to Jesus in small, ordinary ways. And that's where Andrew's story lands, with a gentle reminder that heaven notices the steps no one applauds here on earth, which means your unseen obedience is never wasted. So thanks for being here for another episode of Unpolished But Called. If Andrew's story encouraged you, I hope you carry the reminder that you don't need a spotlight for God to use your life in extraordinary ways. But before you go, make sure you follow and subscribe. Hit the like button on whatever platform you're listening on so you don't miss the next disciple in our December series. And if you're looking for books, study guides, or any other free resources, you can find them all at katherineschaefer.com. Keep walking faithfully, friend, because quiet faith still moves heaven. Until next time.